Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Travel along many Pennsylvania highways and you will often see discarded cigarette butts and plastic bottles. That's what make up most of the 500 to 2 million pieces of litter, or more than 1,000 each mile, according to research by Keep Pennsylvania Beautiful. Trash along roads and illegal dumping impacts the environment, health, and even the economy. So what can be done about Pennsylvania's litter problem, and what can be done to keep the state clean? Joining us now is Pennsylvania's Department of Environmental Protection Secretary Patrick McDonnell. Secretary McDonnell, good to see you today.
Good to see you again.
Also joining us is Natasha Fackler. She's with the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation Policy Director. Ms. Fackler, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Shannon Ryder with Keep Pennsylvania Beautiful. She is the president of Keep Pennsylvania Beautiful. Shannon Ryder, good to see you this morning.
Thank you so much for having us.
If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page, on Twitter. We are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532.
Some people have a deep, abiding respect for the natural beauty that was once this country. And some people don't. People start pollution. People can stop it.
That was from the 1970s, and if you remember the video, that's the audio from a public service announcement that became iconic in this country. It showed a Native American near a roadway where cars were tossing trash from their cars, and he had a teardrop on his cheek. That campaign, the emphasis on litter, seemed to have an effect. Secretary McDonnell, what happened?
Well, one of the things we have talked about is since the passage of some of our waste management and recycling laws, everybody became familiar with reduce, reuse, recycle. And that was over 30 years ago now. So we've talked in our agency about a fourth R, which is recommit, recommitting to that concept. I think we were all very, very focused on what goes into a recycling bin versus what goes into a trash bin in the early days of this. But we're now, we have a couple generations who don't know anything but this world. So we take it for granted. And it is time, and I think it's a very timely conversation. Very timely moment to have the litter survey done and to really be thinking about our statutes, our educational programs, our general approach with municipalities, with residents, and with businesses as to how we address this.
It's interesting that you say that it's been 30 years since recycling laws and it all started. I remember at the time, many people saying, oh, how many people will do that, or what percentage of people will do that? Now we're at a point where so many people are used to doing it, but the education has been, and we've had to make some changes on what is recyclable, what isn't. And it just goes to show, it's an example of how things have changed. People are consciously do it, but now they just toss, many people, not everyone, just toss anything into the recycling bin.
Well, and I think that one of the challenges with educating folks around recycling is that what's recyclable in your community might not be recyclable in my neighbor's community or my mother's community. It's very hard to educate about recycling to scale, right? When we're talking about litter, it's a very simple message that translates across the country, across communities. But recycling doesn't work that way. And you have to take that into account when we're looking at how do you actually effectively educate about these issues.
But education is exactly what you're talking about. That public service announcement from the 1970s did that. It let people know in a very emotional way that this is not a good thing. Today, there are just so many people I know that would not even think about rolling their window. Okay, not rolling their window down. I'm going back to the 70s. But putting their window down and tossing a bottle out or a piece of paper out the window. But apparently, there still are a lot of people who do. So here's kind of a big picture question. so many issues dealing with the environment today, like climate change, lead in water supplies, unhealthy air. Now, these are all really big issues that have an impact on billions of people around the world, millions here in Pennsylvania. It almost seems that litter or trash, I don't want to say it's old-fashioned or it's quaint, but it doesn't compare on scale to those other issues, Secretary.
So, and to be clear, you know, things like climate change are, you know, the most critical issue that we face as a Commonwealth, as a nation, as a globe. That said, you know, we can't afford to just be doing one thing and be focused on one thing. So from our perspective, and as I think you outlined at the beginning, you know, when we talk about cigarette butts going out of a window, that's an aesthetic issue, which can affect the economy. But it's also an environmental issue. It's products that end up in our waterways. It's products that end up clogging stormwater drains and creating flooding concerns. So these are all things we need to continue to be focused on. It's very, very easy to focus on the new thing, the novel thing. And that's why, you know, I use the word recommit. This is stuff we know. This is stuff we've been doing, but we need to be better at.
Natasha Fackler, many people will look at PennDOT, the Department of Transportation, say, okay, they're not saying it's your fault, but they're saying you have to do a better job. There is so much trash out there. Shouldn't you have more people on this trying to clean up along the roadways? What do you say to that?
Well, as an agency, you know, that responsibility does fall to us sometimes. The vehicle code actually says that the person who litters, it's their responsibility to pick it back up.
Is it still $300 fine? I mean, I remember seeing those green and white signs that used to say litter and pay up to a $300 fine. Still
$300? $50 to $300 for your first time offense.
What depends on what's 50? Oh, first offense is 50?
$50 to $300.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that the bigger the item you toss out, that it may cost you more. Go ahead, Natasha.
But as an agency, you know, a lot of times the safety and mobility of our roadways is our number one focus. So for us, we want to make sure that the roadway is clear of debris that could, you know, cause an accident or something like that. And so, you know, it's one of our activities that our maintenance crews spend in the spring picking up litter along with all the other spring activities. And so it does fall to us as an agency to help manage, you know, the litter that's on our roadway, despite the fact that it, you know, we're not the ones that put it there.
Why just the spring?
It's not just the spring, but I just think about this time of year.
Spring cleaning.
You know, spring cleaning.
Right.
And, you know, while locally we haven't had a lot of snow, usually, you know, spring cleanup and those type of activities happen after our winter maintenance season. Our crews are out, you know, our maintenance crews during that time are usually doing snow removal and those type of activities.
How much money is devoted at PennDOT to road cleanup?
So each year we've been spending upwards of $10 million picking up litter along the roadways. And, you know, that's money that we could be used spending other ways, not just us as an agency, but, you know, all of our local municipalities, the money that they're spending on it. That's all money that we could put back into the roadways.
Mm-hmm. $10 million doesn't sound like a whole lot. I mean, is that just going to pay workers or so there's a value on that?
Yeah, that's our maintenance crews time that they're spending. We do have some contracts in a couple areas just based on the roadway type. We do have to have, you know, safety is the number one concern when we have people out picking up litter.
Mm-hmm. My son actually in college in her summer worked for PennDOT, and I would hear him talking about that all the time. Gaiters, I learned a new term of a tire, truck tire, that we see those pieces along the road. Most people probably don't realize how sharp those things are and how much of a hazard they can be, not just because it's trash, it's litter, but it could be actually be a safety hazard.
Yeah, I mean, definitely when things are on the roadway for cars running them over or, you know, in areas where we have pedestrian and bike traffic, you know, we want to make sure that it's safe for those traveling our roadway, no matter what mode they're taking.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go to the study. Tell me about the study. Who conducted it? Why do this study?
Well, Keep Pennsylvania Beautiful has been, frankly, cleaning up trash since 1990, and we're pretty tired of it. to be honest with you.
You want to be out of a job.
Yeah, I mean, the goal is to put ourselves out of work. But to do that, and so our volunteers, instead of slinging tires in the rain on a Saturday morning, you know, they can go work at the food bank, or they could help with child literacy, or, you know, do trail restoration. But instead, we have hundreds of thousands of volunteers on the weekend, literally picking up bottles and cans, cigarette butts, plastic bags, and stacking tires, right? I mean, it's a horrible use of time. It's a horrible use of resources. So Keep Pennsylvania Beautiful is really trying to get a handle on, you know, how do we actually address this by changing behaviors? Because we do want to put ourselves out of a job. Mm-hmm. And to do that, you have to understand what the issue is. So that's why we worked with PennDOT and DEP to commission this study. We had Burns McDonald do the study, and it's a visible litter survey, public attitude assessment, and then we also did a cost study on the side.
So who's doing this littering?
Well, motorists and pedestrians are predominantly the ones, but that's really not a surprise considering it was a roadside.
Right. Right.
Litter survey, right? I mean, if we sat in the parking lot at, you know, the convenience store, you'd see more pedestrians than, you know, motorists. But, I mean, that's who's doing the littering. And what we're finding is, you know, cigarette butts are a huge issue. If you look at the litter by size, right, overall, plastics is 30% of the litter. But if you're looking at litter 4 inches and above, it's 45%. And there's a difference between when a brown paper bag is left out and a plastic water bottle is left out, right? What happens? Well, eventually that brown paper bag is going to, you know, biodegrade and whatnot. And I'm not saying you should leave your brown paper bag out. But the problem is back in the 60s, there was a whole lot less plastic on the side of the road. And what we did with this study is document really what is the full scope? Like, what is the problem? And now we have a really deep understanding of what those material issues are.
I want to break down that a little bit. Cigarette butts, 37% of the trash along the roadways. One of the things that has changed a lot in the past 30 years, if we're going to use that as a barometer, is that, well, first of all, there are a lot fewer Americans that are smoking nowadays. Mm-hmm. But there also are no ashtrays in vehicles. And it used to be that a smoker, not that they wouldn't toss a cigarette anyway, a butt anyway, but in the car, they have nowhere to put it, so they toss it. Now, that is not to say don't do it. I'm just saying that, you know, if you're going to smoke, they actually have nowhere to go. So that's actually created a problem, right?
Well, I think that, listen, if folks want an ashtray, an auto ashtray, they can buy one for their car. Yeah. They can use a soda can for, you know, I mean, there's infrastructure is really important, right? But I do think that an individual can accommodate their needs and install some infrastructure in their car, in their ashtray. But I think it's important to note when we talk about, you know, what that percentage is, the actual number is 186.2 million cigarette butts. I mean, sometimes the percentages don't actually tell the story.
Wow. We will talk more about plastics and some other issues here in just a moment, and we're taking your phone calls and emails. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk, and I want to tell you about a Smart Talk road trip that is actually coming up tomorrow night. That's right, tomorrow night. We're doing something a little bit different. A lot of times that, every Smart Talk road trip we've done up until now has been at 9 o'clock in the morning. We're going to be doing this one at 7 o'clock at Wilson College in Chambersburg to discuss women's suffrage and also, you know, the history of Wilson and some of the noted alumni that have come through Wilson College. That's tomorrow night. And if you would like to attend, you can go to WITF.org/smarttalk. Well, actually, I should say /events to RSVP. Nice sized location to do this. So you can watch the broadcast, and it will air live tomorrow at 7. Then we also will hear it Friday morning. So be sure to tune in. But if you would like to attend, go to WITF.org/events to RSVP. Today's program, we're talking about a study that was conducted, results released recently about litter in Pennsylvania, found 502 million pieces of litter, about 1,000, more than 1,000 each mile of roadway in Pennsylvania. Our guest today, Pennsylvania's Department of Environmental Protection Secretary Patrick McDonnell, Natasha Fackler, PennDOT's Policy Director, and Shannon Ryder with Keep Pennsylvania Beautiful. She is the president of Keep Pennsylvania Beautiful. beautiful. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Let's go to David in Harrisburg. David, you're on the air.
Good morning. I just want to make a comparison between what we have in Dauphin County and what my daughter has in Winchester, Frederick County, Virginia. There they have a citizen's dump site where you can take everything from yard waste to home construction materials, metals, a variety of things. And they also take oil and antifreeze and all kinds of other items. Here in Dauphin County, we don't have anything like that. Now, we can get rid of our electronics down off Cameron Street. We can get rid of our yard waste for Susquehanna Township down by Port Hunter. But anything else, we have no resource to accommodate the disposal of those items. Now, we have contractors that do our waste management, but we've ripped up some carpet from our living room. We want to get rid of it. And if I put it out there at the rate they say I can, it'll take me 2 months to get rid of it. And I'm wondering why Pennsylvania, Dauphin County, doesn't have a citizen's dump site for those things other than the electronics or the yard waste, which is really based on township, not the county.
All right, David, thank you very much for your call. Now, David is talking about some bigger items. Most people aren't throwing carpet out of their cars, although we will be talking about illegal dumping, and I'm sure there are people that will dispose of an old carpet that way alongside the road. But the point he makes, I get the sense, Secretary, that And this goes back to what you mentioned initially about recycling and being recommitted, that people feel like their choices are limited or they don't know.
Correct. And I think, you know, part of it goes to something that Shannon said earlier about just the disparity that we see across municipalities and how we deal with those issues. One of the things that we've actually been working on, particularly for some of our more rural areas where the ability to deal with trash and recycling are relatively limited, is looking at rural transfer stations. And there's actually something going before our Solid Waste Advisory Committee here within the next week or so, outlining a draft approach for that. To provide some more options. But, you know, the way we have it structured right now, it really does come down to municipality by municipality decision making, county by county decision making in terms of the support for a variety of programs. And that's part of what we're going to be looking at. And one of the things we haven't gotten to is the study is the study. What's coming next is some action plans and assembling some municipal industry community leaders to figure out what do we do with this information now that we have it,
right,
and how do we address it. And some of that will be how should municipalities approach this? What does it mean for enforcement and collection?
Because that, quite frankly, the 502 million pieces of trash along the roadway is a number that probably raises eyebrows, but it's not, you know, it's not a wise thing just to say, oh, we have 500 million, no, that's too many. We got to come up with, to use the research and come up with a plan. But Shannon, you know, from what our listener was talking about, would what he is suggesting and what the Secretary was talking about with more places to get rid of some of this trash, would it make less litter alongside the roads?
Absolutely. It definitely would. Before we did the litter study this past year, back in 2014, we released a report on illegal dumping. We identified over 6,000 illegal dump sites across the state. We evaluated it costs $614 a ton to clean up an illegal dump. And we made some recommendations for the state as well as local counties and municipalities. How do we actually address this? And really what it came down to, Pennsylvania needs to ensure universal access to convenient, affordable trash disposal and recycling. Right now, because so much is managed differently from municipality to municipality, services are all different. So what their caller is explaining, what they're experiencing, is very real. And what universal access looks like in Snyder County versus Allegheny County versus Erie, right? It's all different. So it's not a cookie cutter approach, but it's about providing access. So in rural Pennsylvania, we're talking about rural transfer stations. In urban areas, we're talking about more infrastructure like trash cans and public space recycling, but not just the infrastructure, but the resources to manage that infrastructure.
You mentioned trash cans. In the research, I understand that that was one of the reasons that most people gave for littering is that there aren't enough trash cans.
There's lack of access. Again, what does that universal access mean? In urban areas, it's about ensuring that there's trash cans and public space recycling and messaging that explains how to use that appropriately, like what actually goes in the bin. But then municipalities who are responsible for maintaining that, they need the resources to do it.
Mm. Natasha, I'm not going to ask you this question because you're much younger than I am. Remember litter bags?
Yes.
I mean, it sounds so quaint now, but you actually could buy a litter bag in a like an auto parts store, mm-hmm. or really anywhere. You don't see them very often.
You get one at the grocery store every time you go.
Oh, I know. I have used them that way.
Right.
But I mean, actually something that was designated. It actually, there were some that actually on the side said litter bag.
Right.
You know, so you didn't get it mixed up with something else in your car. Let's take a call from Catherine in Cleona. Catherine, you're on the air.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for talking about this morning.
Yes.
It makes me so crazy when I see somebody mindlessly flick their cigarette butt out their car window, and I just want to yell at them, hey, the earth is not your ashtray. And I grew up with that American Indian commercial, and I remember the first Earth Day back in 1970. So it's something we've just lost track of to keep in mind. So I would like to propose that cigarettes come with a tax, a litter tax, and market it as a litter tax. So people it just keeps in front of people that, you know, there's a cost to when you mindlessly flick your cigarette butt out the window.
With the money going toward PennDOT for cleanup or what?
Going toward that $10 million it costs for people to pick them up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much. Could you use $10 million, Natasha?
We absolutely could use that money for other things on our roadways besides picking up litter.
We have an email from John who says, there's a troubling trend in litter in our area consisting of liquor and beer containers and drug paraphernalia. I believe there should be an effort on behalf of law enforcement to connect litter to illegal activities.
So one of the things that we noticed through our data collection process was that of all the bottles and cans that are on the side of the road, 20% were beer cans.
Really?
That's a pretty, I mean, it could be a surprise to some people,
but it's not a surprise,
others.
But you're drinking in the car, but, for one
right.
thing.
And so some folks would say, well, that is a reflection of our current laws where you're not allowed to have an open container, so folks are, you know, throwing it out. But those are debates, of course, that we could all have. But I just thought the 20% beer cans was pretty staggering.
Well, okay, as far as what his question is or mm-hmm. his comment about being a law enforcement issue, go back to those signs that we see that say 50 to 100 or $300 fines. Do police officers actually cite people for littering?
So there's a lot of challenges with enforcement for litter and illegal dumping.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet.
And if anybody would like to step in, I'm okay, but I'm happy to cover it. The fact of the matter is there's competing priorities across the board. Our local municipalities, they no longer even have, a lot of them don't even have their own local police. They're relying on state police. So there's shrinking resources in the enforcement community. And then when it comes to actually litter and illegal dumping, you have to actually catch them mm-hmm. in the act. And so with our partnership with DEP, we actually introduced a surveillance camera loan program for communities to help with illegal dumping. And we have had some success with that. But the fact of the matter is enforcement is really hard when it comes to litter and illegal dumping. And our data shows that most folks in Pennsylvania don't really believe that we have an enforcement culture around litter and illegal dumping. So it's a big issue.
Let's face it, there is probably not going to be the kind of investigation on illegal dumping with normal illegal dumping. I don't know what normal is, but unless it's something hazardous or something like that. But could conceivably, law enforcement, for example, pick out pieces of mail that is there and see the name on it?
So theoretically, you could, but when you take it to the local magistrate, it ultimately falls on them to determine if that is good enough.
By the way,
and just to point out, I mean, I think we pointed out, for example, that the top two are motorists, pedestrians. One of the other factors is like unsecured loads, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is an enforcement factor.
Yeah.
So was that mail put there by the person whose mail it was? Did it come from an unsecured load that's traveling down a roadway? Mm-hmm. You know, those are all things that you'd have to figure out, right?
Secretary, I'm probably talking about something that Shannon said, that it's unenforceable unless you do catch them in the act. There's a reason that law is that way, because there are a lot of factors that could go into it.
And as Shannon said, I think the surveillance program is really good, where communities know, frankly, that there's a spot, and some of this goes to that, again, that rural collection system that we're looking to try to be helpful with. In the absence of that, people find the spot, right, where they can put this stuff, and then you can put a surveillance camera there and know who's doing that, and you have some enforcement options there. For the cigarette going out the window, that's a lot harder, and that's some of it's education, and some of it's engaging with convenience stores and other places to make sure that they're helping with that education. It still strikes me. You still talk to people who are convinced that is like the paper bag, right? That if I throw it out the window, it just biodegrades. It's cellulose acetate.
Right.
It's a plastic chemical compound that has a bunch of stuff in it that, when it gets into a waterway, is acutely toxic to wildlife. And so just even people hearing that and knowing that when you flick that out, it's not something that's going to biodegrade. It's something that's going to find its way into our stormwater systems, into our waterways, and have water quality impacts, wildlife impacts. I'm struck by, we were having a conversation earlier about the straw issue. And a couple photos of turtles being impacted by that. And I know my children have taken that to heart and are now very invested in mental straws or not taking a straw at all when they're out at the fast food restaurant, right?
Mm. You know, in cigarette butts, there's so many things that come to mind. But the wildfires that mostly in the West, how many times have you heard that one of those fires was started by someone flicking a cigarette? I'm sure it's happened here in Pennsylvania. Dave asks, it seems that it is nobody's job to clean it up. Should the government be tasked with that? I live in Perry County, and we have tons of roadside litter, and it sits there and sits there. The township doesn't seem to clean it up. The county doesn't. The state doesn't. Who does? Natasha, I'm going to put this one on you, because tell me if this is accurate, that the different roadways we have here in Pennsylvania are maintained by either municipalities, I don't know if we do it on a county level, but or by the state. So that's whose responsibility it is to clean it up, correct or incorrect?
So we, Pennsylvania, as the state, own over 40,000 miles of roadway. The local municipalities own over 77,000 miles of roadway. So there is a difference on who owns the roadway. When the motoring public is traveling, for a lot of the time, they don't understand that there's a difference. They think all roads are PennDOT roads. But, you know, one of the things we as an agency have is an Adopt a Highway program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're talking about volunteers picking up. So for our agency, last year alone, we had over 5,100 volunteer groups that were picking up roadway on over 10,000 miles of our state-owned roads. So of the 40,000 miles that we have, over a fourth of them are covered by, you know, groups that are picking that up and are committing to picking up litter twice a year on the roadways. And that's something we as an agency support. Last year alone, during those pickups, they picked up over 41,000 bags of litter that were collected on those roadways. So, you know, as a state agency, you know, we're trying to make sure that we have opportunities for others to help in the cleanup efforts so that it doesn't fall just on us.
Mm-hmm. But, and this is no criticism, you're just talking about twice a year. That's 6 months worth of trash that can build up over. I mean, this is a great program. Gets people involved, kids involved, a lot of different things, people taking pride in their community, that kind of thing. But 6 months worth of trash can build up in that time.
Absolutely. I understand what you're saying. You know, that's one of the things we're trying to do with this study is really change behaviors of the public. You know, as a state, we have just such great resources, natural resources and natural beauty that we really should be taking pride in our communities and making sure that we are keeping them clean. One of the things that this past year that we've done is we have a litter enforcement corridors, and those are corridors where we have designated roadways where people will be fined additional fines if they are littering in those corridors. So specific corridors where we're seeing extra littering and extra illegal dumping activities where we can actually make, you know, an effort to, you know, have those locations enforced. And, you know, one of the things of the act that's great is if you are caught littering in those, that you are forced to help with the cleanup.
Okay, we have a question along those lines. Brett asks, why don't we see prison work crews picking up trash? And is there a legislature, state or federal, to uniform packaging to simplify recycling? Prison work crews, I hear that all the time.
So, you know, as an agency, we have worked with Department of Corrections through the years to have inmates picking up litter on our roadways. That has decreased a little bit in recent years. You know, one of the things that Department of Corrections is working on, I shouldn't speak for their agency, but, you know, the prison populations are really trying to give them some real life technical skills that can help them help prepare them when they leave the prison population or reentering to the workforce, that they have skills that work for them. So that's one of the reasons. I know there's also a lot of ask for, you know, the inmate population to do different things. So PennDOT's not the only, or litter pickup isn't the only thing that prisoners are asked to help with. We do have, not for a prison population, but, you know, one of the things that we as an agency help support is called Adult Litter Brigade. And that's actually when you've been caught littering and are sentenced to help pick up litter and spend community hours doing that, that we as an agency support that program. So we help find locations where you can go and pick up litter.
Let's take a phone call from Linda in Red Line. And Linda, you're on the air.
Hi there. The reason I'm concerned about this is because I live out in off of a country road. We put our garbage, our recyclables out, and a lot of times the wind, the last 3 weeks, the wind has blown them over, and we even bought a big recycled can to put them in, but it doesn't stay shut. I have, my husband, my son, and I have gone after litter many, many times. But yes, there is litter along the roads because I walk and I see beer cans and that sort of thing. And when I do walk, different times I take a bag. I'll be doing that in the next several weeks and pick up as I walk. But yeah, if there could be something that somebody could come up with that makes the recyclable can or little basket stay down during the windy, windy days, because that's a big thing.
All right. Do we have any inventors out there? Hey, Linda, thank you very much for your call. She has, I mean, it seems like a simple thing, but it is a big problem. Everyone here has dealt with this problem where the wind will blow either your trash can over or your recycling bin, and there's plastic bottles flying, milk cartons flying down the street because of the wind.
So there's a couple of things that I'd like to just touch on with that. You know, putting a lid on it is really important. It's not always going to solve the problem, but I know
for a recycling bin,
and trash cans, right?
Okay, well,
so
trash cans,
if we talk about trash cans, well, some folks just put their trash bag on the street,
right,
and they put it out, and then all through the night, all the raccoons and all the critters, they come, they open it, mm-hmm, and it blows all over the street. A lot of communities have that blue bin, right? It's just that little blue box without a lid. You know, if you put that out in the evening, and you walk your, and then I walk my dog in the morning, and I see plastic bottles all over the place, all over the place.
Do you pick them up?
Yeah,
okay, I
do.
Better.
But
the
funny thing is, though, last week we put our recycling. Now I have a cart. Santa brought me a cart a couple years ago, a big blue cart with a lid. My husband put it out on the curb in the evening. We had a big storm, and I woke up and it looked, I mean, it was everywhere, right? And I spent a good half hour cleaning everything up. Since we've pulled glass out of the bins, the weight of our bins has drastically changed.
Right.
And so when the glass would sink to the bottom, it actually it had that weight and it held it, right? But now the wind is actually, it's easier to knock them over.
Now, so your municipality is not recycling glass any longer?
No.
Okay. That is something that has changed. Mm-hmm. That first, it started kind of, well, it didn't start, but we heard more about it. China stopped accepting recyclables. And then I think a lot of municipalities and counties have decided to reduce the items that can be recycled because people weren't cleaning them out. Mm-hmm. That's something that has to happen, is that you can't just toss anything in your recycling bin.
So a couple things there. One, we've seen because of, you know, we moved to the single stream, which is definitely more convenient for folks. But we have, you know, great examples here locally where, on the one hand, we see municipalities who have pulled glass out in order to prevent contamination and to deal with some of the market issues that we see in recyclables. But I know we as a state, the way we do it is by source separating our recyclables. So the paper is actually one of the more valued commodities mm-hmm. that we recycle as a state, which is exactly the thing China isn't taking.
Right.
And that's because
newspapers, where I live, yeah. newspapers are no longer recycled.
Right. And we separate out paper in the Capitol complex. And because of that, there's value mm-hmm. to that paper because it's a high value stream. It doesn't have that level of contamination. That's one of the elements that we need to talk about with the municipalities, with businesses, with others, as to, okay, what do we do now that we see some limitations on single stream and some ways of deriving value out of going back to some source separation.
I have a question along those lines from Allison. She asks, as I listen to Smart Talk today, I'm very curious as to where someone could find what is and isn't recyclable in their community. Also, what is the solution to the issue of people who cannot afford to pay their trash company to remove large items? I feel like this was addressed. We may see less litter in illegal dumping sites.
So on the latter point, again, that really does come down to a municipality by municipality decision. It's driven by what those waste management contracts are. And but again, I think it's one of those broader conversations we need to be having, is to make sure who has access to what services, and frankly, trying to simplify that to the first point. The best answer is to go to your municipality's website. Usually they'll have some connect to the waste management company or something like that they're utilizing, who have the explanation of what they take, and not just mm-hmm. what they take, but how they take it. How clean does a jar have to be? Do you leave the lid on a water bottle or not? Those kinds of issues are not necessarily standard across. And that's, again, one of those conversations I think we need to have as a Commonwealth. We were, frankly, pretty forward-looking back in the late 80s with our recycling programs. But a lot has happened in the interim. So figuring out exactly what good waste management, what good recycling programs look like, and even, you know, one of the issues that we're talking about as an agency with others is food waste and organic mm-hmm. waste, which is a lot of what finds its way into our landfills. And there's value to that.
You know, and I think about some of these illegal dump sites. I know that part of this research, they were mapped out across Pennsylvania where there were a lot of illegal dump sites. Just think about the rats that attracts, the health issues that can create because of just what you described of food that has been left over, things that are dirty. You know, you see these things all the time.
An issue you've done shows on before related to this, right? You have people dumping tires,
right.
for example.
Right, because they're hard to get rid of.
They're hard to get rid of. There's a cost to get rid of them. And so they end up getting dumped. What happens? Those fill with water over time, and you end up with mosquitoes. It becomes a West Nile virus issue across the Commonwealth. So all of these things end up connected, right? Managing this properly, it's something, I mean, one thing that related to a point that came up earlier about, well, isn't this the county municipality PennDOT's job? If PennDOT doubles their level of effort, that's $10 million of bridge repair, road repair not happening because crews are out cleaning up.
And then,
so, and for the municipalities, one of the aspects of the study is they looked at the nine essentially largest municipalities mm-hmm. in the state and saw a they're spending $68 million a year on the cleanup effort. And again, people should internalize that that is money, you know, as they're thinking about flicking the cigarette butt or that they lose control of the plastic bag as they walk out of the store and it ends up flying away. Those are their tax dollars mm-hmm. that are going to clean up this. This is not without cost or not without burden on everyone.
Before you, Shannon, can I hold that thought? Because I have to, I'm a little late in doing my break here. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. We're talking about Pennsylvania's littering problem, a study that found that there were over 500 million pieces of litter here in Pennsylvania along the roadways, more than 1,030 actually, each mile of roadway in Pennsylvania. Our guest today, Pennsylvania's Secretary of the Department of Environmental Protection, Patrick McDonnell, Natasha Fackler with PennDOT, she's the policy director, Shannon Ryder is the president of Keep Pennsylvania Beautiful. 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. And I will tell you that our phone lines are completely lit up, and we have a lot of emails. I'll try to get to as many as I can. But Shannon, you had a thought just before we went
on. I wanted to just leave, I just want to put this on the table. We had a tremendous amount of media coverage when we released these studies. And we knew that the amount of litter, the quantity, the plastics, the bottles and cans, that was going to get people's attention. But really what drove it home was that municipal cost study that the secretary just referenced. When we talked
$68 million.
That's what it costs to manage litter and illegal dumping. 80% of that was spent on cleanups. 1% was on education and outreach. 8% on enforcement. 80% of that was just on cleanups. We're throwing money away. The headlines that were generated across the state were incredible. But my favorite headline came from the Butler Eagle, and it said, "We could feed thousands for the cost of cleaning up litter." And I assure you, we could feed tens of thousands for the cost of cleaning up litter in Pennsylvania.
Let's take a phone call from Carl in Lebanon. Carl, you're on the air.
Thank you. Part of the litter solution in my mind is to have bottle bill legislation. I have redeemed bottles that have deposits on them in the states of New York and California. If there's skin in the game, meaning money, people will return their bottles to the point of purchase, or scavengers will pick it up to redeem for the money. Right now, there are 11 states that currently have bottle bills. Michigan and Iowa have 10 cents per item. 20 years ago, I talked to my state representative, Ed Krebs, about a bottle bill, which he was in favor of, but he told me that the beverage companies would lobby against it, and they could not even get it out of committee. Now I'm talking to my state representative, Frank Bryan. But a bottle bill, in my opinion, would help the litter situation.
Thank you very much for your call. I knew this issue would come up because this has been something discussed in Pennsylvania for a long time. I was not aware that we were up to 11 states that had deposits. You've seen them on the side of cans and the side of bottles. It's like 5 cents for Maine or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is there legislation now being considered in Pennsylvania for a bottle bill, and is it a solution?
I think that we need to consider all solutions. We got a big problem. We got to put every tool in the toolbox. We got to look at them all. Right now, there's 29.3 million beverage containers on the side of the road. And the majority of those are metal and plastic, a very small percentage glass. They have an economic value. I do believe because of there's national legislation, there's always talk of bottle bill legislation, you know, at the state level. I think your caller's right. The beverage industry has historically opposed deposit law legislation across the country, state by state. But I think it's going to get to a point where folks are going to have to say, let's talk about what is a good deposit law as opposed to defending bad deposit laws.
What's a bad deposit law?
Well, 5 cents isn't going to cover anybody's costs. That's not going to necessarily get the material to market. There are studies out there that really help define what good deposit laws are, but they cover everybody's costs, the grocer's costs. They incentivize the individuals. It's not 5 cents. It's closer probably to 12 or 15 cents. But there's a lot to it, and not every bottle bill is equal.
And the beverage industry would say that 12 to 15 cents will be put on the consumer.
I would never speak for the beverage industry. In that sense.
I'm not asking you to, but I'm just bringing up a point that they're going to say that that will be passed along to the consumer.
And the consumer, but the nature of the deposit law, if the deposit's 12 cents or 15 cents or 10 cents or whatever it is, the consumer gets that back when they bring the material back.
Let's go to Steve in Lancaster County. Steve, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Thanks for having this show. First, I wanted to thank these amazing individuals who go out there and pick up the trash every day. Thanks for doing that. It's a shame you have to do it, but it's a service that everybody does appreciate. Two points I'd like to make, and one is that the consequences change behavior. So I do think the way to go on this is both on the monetary end as far as having it be worth them, not throwing it out the window, and also the consequences that come once they do that. Additionally, I'd like to just say in the rural communities of Lancaster County, what I see all the time is the agricultural community, not as a whole, but often and a lot, burning waste that I know is simply not an approved method of disposal. What I'd like to see is the ability to actually contact somebody and have enforcement come out as they burn silage bags and all the other gross volume of plastics that they use in their pursuit.
Hey, thank you very much for calling. I have to say the bird was a nice touch in the background as we're talking about an environmental issue. What about that?
So on the latter point, in particular, you know, we know part of what drives burn barrels across the state, frankly, is some of the lack of infrastructure out there in order to pick that up. I will say it is one of those where there's a lot of discussion about the individual right, but at the same time, when you're burning that stuff, frankly, relatively low temperature, it's producing a lot of very harmful air pollution, particularly as you're burning plastics and things like that, that are affecting other people around you.
I would have to say, though, that there are a lot of people probably think they're doing the right thing and that is keeping stuff off the side of the road. It's not illegal dumping. We only have about 2 minutes, and I want to make sure that we touch on this. So we have the research. What are the plans?
So the next things we're doing, as I mentioned earlier, is really working over the next several months to create some action plans around how we address this, assembling other partners around. One of the things that I think it's important to stress is a lot of what we talk about, and it's an important factor in this, is how we change individual behavior. But we need to work our way up the entirety of the chain. How do we reduce the amount of packaging? How do we get it in people's heads that when they buy two items at the convenience store, they don't need to walk out with a plastic bag, right? Reusable bag or nothing, right?
Right, right.
You can just, you know, carry out the tasty cake and the chocolate milk in your hand.
Did you follow me this morning, Secretary?
So developing the plans for how we address everything that we can do. It's not one thing, it's a lot of things. And then the other thing, just to stress, which I know Shannon said they're sick of picking up the trash, but we are in the middle now we're at the start of Pick Up Pennsylvania campaign, which is our annual Around Earth Day spring cleaning that communities are organizing to do cleanup events on their roadways, in their communities, to really address some of those cleanups. So we encourage everybody who's listening to sign up for a cleanup event in their community or establish one.
See, Secretary, the only thing, I love that idea. In fact, I was sitting here thinking, oh, we, WITF, should do that. But it becomes a special thing, a one day a year or twice a year thing, when this has to be all the time. And it gets back to people's behavior.
Right. There's a lot of people that pick up litter every day on their walk when they're with their dogs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and those are our heroes for sure. Mm-hmm. But Pick Up Pennsylvania, it's a wonderful way, as Natasha said earlier, it's that spring cleaning, right, that we all need to do. And it's not just about cleaning up. It's about, you know, restoring our trails and our parks and plantings and things like that. And it's really about pulling our community together. So, you know, folks, if they want to get involved, they can go to keeppabeautiful.org. They can sign up. We're going to be able to provide, thanks to PennDOT and DEP and our partners at the national level, bags and gloves and free disposal.
And I imagine you said about gloves. Protect yourself as you're doing
right.
this as well.
Right. Absolutely.
I want to thank our guests for being with us. We could have talked about this for a long, long time. But encourage everyone. Change your behavior. Don't throw this trash out of your car window. Don't dump illegally. And keep Pennsylvania beautiful.
Thank
we'll
you.
Make a public service here. Thank you very much.